ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 9, answers by citing the Lord's version. Text 27. 26 doesn't have a purport, therefore we'll just read through the text 26 and then come to text 27. Tathapi natha manasya natha nathaya nathitam paravaro jatharupe janiyante twarupinaha. In spite of that, my Lord, I am praying to you to kindly fulfill my desires. May I please be informed how, in spite of your transcendental form, you assume the mundane form, although you have no such form at all. So these are the questions Brahma is asking to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Day before yesterday, we discussed the text 25. And from there, Brahma's questions actually started. Brahma said, O Personality of Godhead, you are situated in every living entity's heart as the Supreme Director, and therefore you are aware of all endeavors by your superior intelligence without any hindrance whatsoever. And then 26 is saying, in spite of that, my Lord, I am praying to you to kindly fulfill my desire. May I please be informed how, in spite of your transcendental form, you assume the mundane form, although you have no such form at all. And then we go to text 27. Jathatma maya yogena. Jathatma maya yogena nana shakti upabringhitam bilumpan vishrijan ghrinan grinnan bibhrad atmanam atmana. Jathatma maya yogena nana shaktu upabringhitam bilumpan vishrijan grinnan bibhrad atmanam atmana. Jathatma maya yogena nana shaktu upabringhitam bilumpan vishrijan grinhan bibhrad atmanam atmana. Jathatma maya yogena shaktupabringhitam bilumpan vishrijan grinhan bibhrad atmanam atmana.
Jathatma maya yogena
nana shakti upabringhitam
यथात्मा माया योगेन
नाना
Jatha, as much as Atma, own Maya potency, Yogena, by combination, Nana, various, Shakti, energy, Upabrimhitam, by combination and permutation. Bilumpan, in the matter of annihilation. Bishrijan, in the matter of generation. Grinhan, in the matter of acceptance. Bibhrat, in the matter of maintenance. Atmanam, own self. Atmana, by the self. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And please inform me how you, by your own self, manifest different energies for annihilation, generation, acceptance, and maintenance by combination and permutation. Please repeat after me. And please inform me,
how you
by your own self manifest different energies
for annihilation,
generation,
acceptance,
and maintenance
by combination
and permutation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The whole manifestation is the Lord Himself by diffusion of His different energies only, namely the internal, external, and marginal, just as the sunlight is the manifestation of the energy of the sun planet. Such energy is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord, just as the sunshine is simultaneously one with and different from the sun planet. The energies are acting by combination and permutation by the indication of the Lord, and the acting agents like Lord Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva are also different incarnations of the Lord. In other words, there is nothing but the Lord, and still the Lord is different from all such manifestative. And still the Lord is different from all such manifestive in activities. How it is so will be explained later on. So we are actually discussing two verses together today, 26 and 27. 26 says, "In spite of that, my Lord, I am praying to you to kindly fulfill my desire. May I please be informed how, in spite of your transcendental form, you assume the mundane form, although you have no such form at all. And please inform me how you, by your own self, manifest different energies for annihilation, generation, acceptance and maintenance by combination and permutation." So Brahma is asking the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Brahma is asking these questions, after seeing him in the spiritual sky face to face. Now, is Srimad Bhagavatam some kind of fairy tale? Somebody is writing something that is coming to his mind. And most of the authors nowadays, what they do, not only nowadays, it has been quite common. You know how most of the authors write? They take a very good dose of drugs and then they write. Most of these big authors, especially in the West, had been drug addicts, even in India. At least I know some authors, famous authors in Bengal, they were drug addicts. Like for example in the West, Oscar Wilde, Julian Huxley, they were opium addicts, not some simple drugs, they were opium addicts. And then they wrote. How they write? Out of their addiction they get hallucination. They see all kinds of fanciful things in their mind, and then they write. There's a very famous Bengali writer called Sharadchandra Chattopadhyay, a very famous novelist, and he was a ganja addict, marijuana addict. Now is Brahma writing something like that out of some hallucination? No. He is asking these questions after seeing the Lord face to face in the spiritual sky. He is asking him these questions. And this first question is actually very relevant. He is saying that although you are situated in transcendental nature, although your form is transcendental, here Brahma is not saying that you don't have a form. You are nirakar and your akar is all mundane. But Brahma is asking, although you are situated in a transcendental platform, although your form is transcendental, that you are transcendent, in spite of your transcendental form, how do you assume a mundane form? Mundane form means material form, form made out of matter, form that comes out of earth, water, fire, air, ether. Mainly earth. water, fire. Air and ether is beyond our perception. But at least earth, water and fire we can see. So Brahma is asking a very relevant question. Don't we have that question also in our mind? When you go to the temple, what kind of form do we see? We see a stone. Apparently it's a mundane form. Now Brahma's point actually is that there is a mundane form of yours, but how to make out that this form is transcendental? Or that's not actually Brahma's perspective, that's actually our perspective. What we are seeing is a mundane form of the Lord. It is made of our deities here. What do we see? The big deities are made of stone, small deities are made of matter. It's a mundane form, made out of mundane matter. Then you go to Jagannath temple, the form is out of wood. Now what is the mystery? The mystery is, or the understanding, the appropriate understanding is that although this form, although the Lord appears to be mundane, but He is not mundane. That has been pointed out. Ishvaraha Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. When you go and see the form of the Lord in the temple, we have to understand that this form is Satchidananda Vigraha. This form is transcendental, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. But because our perceptions are limited to mundane elements, very mercifully the Lord has manifested Himself in front of us in that form. It is not that the Lord is stone or wood or metal or clay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Satchidananda. But for our benefit, so that we can see Him, He has manifested Himself in this way. When there was no need, He did not manifest this form. In Satya Yuga, the forms are not necessary, because the living entities in Satya Yuga, the human beings in Satya Yuga, were so exalted that they could meditate, and upon meditating upon the Lord in the heart, they used to see Him face to face. And that's why there was no need for the deities of the Lord. They would, they after successful completion of their yoga, Ashtanga yoga practice, they would see the Lord in the heart. In Treta Yuga, after successful completion of sacrifice, the Lord would manifest from the sacrificial fire. But in Kali Yuga, that is not happening. That is not possible. That's why, towards the end of Dwapar Yuga, the Lord manifested Himself. And in Dwapar Yuga, what would happen? They would render, Dwapar Yuga actually, the form of the Lord became manifest. The Vigraha, Archa Vigraha. And when they would render their service in the temple, the Lord would become manifest in front of them. The Lord would reciprocate them in the most wonderful way. And from that, they would actually perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. But in Kali Yuga, people have lost that ability altogether. Therefore, we have to make a special endeavor in the age of Kali. Very special endeavor. At least when you go to the temple, we should have this understanding very clear. That the personality that we are seeing, who apparently appears to be mundane, and not only mundane, not only material, even material, living entities are moving and talking and functioning in different animative and different animated way. But the deity in the temple is just standing still, like a stone statue. But what's the difference between a stone statue and this? Form the deities of the Lord. What is the difference? Sometimes the stone statues may look even more beautiful than the deities in the temple. The difference is, if you go to the stone statue in a museum or someplace, there are many beautifully carved statues. If you go to them and pray to them, your prayers won't be answered. But you go to the temple and pray to the deities and see what happens. And this is how one can develop his faith. The personality of Godhead in the temple is the supreme personality of Godhead. It's non-different from the Lord himself. Just as Brahma is offering his prayers to him, how can I fulfill my desire? That was Brahma's first question. How will my desire be fulfilled? So similarly, we may have many desires in our hearts, and we can go to the temple, stand in front of the deity, and with all sincerity we can pray to him, and let us see what happens. You can try it out. How many of you tried it? Don't feel shy. I'm not going to ask you in details. And how many of you experienced that your prayers have been answered? So, now you can try one thing. There are so many beautiful statues. You can go to some museum or some place, and why don't you offer your prayers and ask the statue? Then see what happens. So this is how we have to understand that in the temple what we have is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And because he is spiritual, because he is transcendental, because he is omniscient and omnipotent, he can be present everywhere. And he can act with his inconceivable potency to manifest his extraordinary ability in fulfilling or answering your prayer. So that's Brahma's question is here, and the general answer will be that. What is Brahma's question? In spite of your transcendental form, you assume the mundane form, although you have no such form at all. Although you don't have a mundane form, but still you assume a mundane form. Now what is the answer to that question? Why does the Lord assume a mundane form? I would say apparently mundane form. Why? Who will answer? Okay, Ganganarayan?
Because we cannot see anything spiritual.
Very good. Because with this mundane eyes, we cannot see the spiritual object. So it is due to his causeless mercy that the Lord has appeared in this form. Just to bestow his favor upon us, so that we can see him. Although we know, Annantarastha Paramanuchayantarastham, the Lord is present in every single atom. He is present everywhere. Ito Nishingha, Paroto Nishingha, Yato Yato Jami, Tato Nishingha. Bahir Nishingha, Hridaye Nishingha. So, the Lord is present. Here, there, everywhere. Inside, outside, everywhere. That is what he is. Although we can intellectually conceive of this idea, but we cannot practically perceive him in that way. Although he is in our heart, but we cannot see him in the heart. Yes, if we are in Satya Yuga, we could. After successful completion of Ashtanga Yoga, in the Samadhi state, we could see him in the heart. But in this age, forget it. In this age, we won't be able to see him in that way. So in this age, what has happened? How do we see the deity in the temple? How should we, when we stand in front of the deities in the temple, how should we see him? We should see him with the understanding or with the awareness, the one who is in my heart, here he is in front of me. The personality, the supreme personality of Godhead, who is the super soul in my heart, he is standing in front of me in the temple. And he is allowing me the opportunity to serve him. He is allowing me the opportunity to reciprocate with him. He is allowing me the opportunity to pray to him and offer all my anxieties and problems to him. We can. We'll always need someone to cry, some shoulders to cry on to, cry on. So here's the best shoulder that you can get to cry on. If you have any problem, just go and complain to him. If you have difficulty, if you have any unfulfilled desire, if you have any intense prayer, go and offer it to him. And our point is very open. You do that and see what happens. And we saw so many of you just raised your hands and expressed that you have practical experience of a very wonderful reciprocation from the Lord. And another way to look at it is that how the deity is non-different from the Lord himself is that we see, like when we see somebody's picture, don't we relate to the person? Like, say, your grandfather who has left this planet. You see his picture. Who do you see in the picture? Although he is not there, present in front of you. Or sometimes somebody who is very dear to you. You see his or her picture. And what do you see? You see the person, don't you? So if we can relate to somebody through his picture or her picture, then why can't we relate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the representation of his Archa Vigraha? And it is Archa Vigraha because this Vigraha is meant to be worshipped. It's not a museum piece. It's the Lord himself. In this form he manifested himself to worshipped. So we are getting this information directly from Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, after seeing the Lord face to face, he is offering these prayers to the Lord. Brahma is not trying to convince us. Brahma is just expressing his own heartfelt queries. And we'll find how wonderfully the Lord will answer. And this is actually, these questions are actually the root of Srimad Bhagavatam. Through these questions, Srimad Bhagavatam became manifest. In answer to these questions, the Lord gave the Chatushloki, beginning with Aham Eva Sam Eva Agri. The four preliminary verses or seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. And from those four verses, the Bhagavatam became manifest. Like, now we can briefly go into that. We'll just see. The Lord is he started to answer, then he goes to this Chatushloki. Aham evasham evagre nannad jat sad asat param paschadaham jadetaccha yo avashishyate so asmaham. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself, nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So at the beginning, when there was nothing, I was there. Whatever you are seeing in this manifested world is only my manifestation. And when everything will become annihilated, even then I will continue to exist. Aham evasam evagre nannad jad sad asat param paschad aham jadetachya jo avashishyate so asmi aham. So we get the answers. Okay. And please inform me how you, by your own self, manifest different energies for annihilation, generation, acceptance and maintenance by combination and permutation. And then the second of the Chatushloki is Rite artham jat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad viddad atmano mayam jatha bhasho jatha tamaha. In this verse is describing what is maya. What is this material manifestation? O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Now from this we can actually get the root of the concept of our Sankirtan principle. What is Sankirtan principle? The principle of Sankirtan? That whatever is applied, even though it is material, to Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure, that becomes spiritualized. Isn't it? What is the principle of Sankirtan? Engage everything in the service of Krishna. By doing that, what happens? When you do that, when you engage something in Krishna's service, then it is spiritualized. It becomes spiritual. Like the other day I made that question, I raised that point. This microphone, is it material or spiritual? Why? Because it is being used in Krishna's service. That's why it is spiritual. So now here Krishna is making the same point in a reverse way. Rite artham jat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani. Rite means without. If something is existing without my relation to me, then it is not existing. Right? So now you reverse that concept. If something is existing in relation to Krishna, then it is existing. It is spiritualized. Whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. So no reality means maya. So what is maya? That is existing but doesn't have any direct link with Krishna. Know it as my illusory energy. So he's saying, that is my illusory energy. That reflection which appears to be in darkness. So he gives the two concepts here, jatha abhasho and jatha tamo. Abhash, what is abhash? Abhash is the reflection. And tamo means darkness. The absence of that. And reflections can be of two kinds. The reflections can be of two kinds. Or in simple words we can say that it can be reflection or refraction. So, and then the third verse is Jatha Mahanti Bhutani bhuteshu cha vacheshanu pravishtanna pravishthani tatha teshu na teshvaham. Please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. That is the mystery. It enters into the cosmos and it doesn't enter into the cosmos. And Krishna in Bhagavad Gita also says, I am in them and they are not in me. I am in them and I am not in them. So here also, he is making the same point. Please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created and at the same time I am outside of everything. Now, just to get an idea of this, we can consider, like when you are dreaming, in the dream the objects exist? Yes. Because you are dreaming. The objects are existing. You are seeing it. Three-dimensional. Now you may say no. But when you are dreaming that a tiger is about to pounce on you, what do you do? Don't you think that it's a real tiger? Is just about to eat you up? Now is the tiger there? Yes, it is there. No, it's not there. So material nature is like that. It's like a dream. Once Prabhupada told, like our existence in the material nature is something like... Prabhupada actually put it the other way around. Is our going back to the spiritual sky is like waking up from a dream. So one day, we'll wake up from the dream and we'll find ourselves in the spiritual sky. Then what this material nature, our existence in the material nature will appear to be like? Oh, I was dreaming. You just woke up and then it doesn't exist at all. So all that we are considering to be so important, at some point we'll see that they didn't even exist. So that is how what will happen when we enter into the spiritual sky. Going back to spiritual sky will be something like waking up from a dream. Just wake up from a dream and you'll find. But one nice thing that is happening to us is that we are creating the spiritual reality here in the material nature. So even when we wake up, we'll find that what we are doing here, we'll find ourselves. We'll find those things are existing there. Like when we wake up, then we'll find Radha Madan Mohan is there. Krishna Balaram is there. Gaunitha is there. Gaunithai are there. And then what will you do? Then our service there will be so meaningful because in reality we will see Gaunithai, Krishna Balaram and Radha Madan Mohan. Now there is a kind of separation, like they appear to be inert and the world around us appears to be real. Everything appears to be real, but the deity of the Lord appears to be unreal. But there what will happen? The deity will become real, and this world, that everything that we experienced, will become unreal. Etavad, the fourth verse is, Etavad eva jigyasyam tatta jigyasunat manaha annaya bhyam jat sat sarvatra sarvada. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So these four verses are actually the seed of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this way, it became manifest first to Brahma, then Brahma to Narad. Brahma gave it to Narad also, the same knowledge. And Narad was... Narad used to think that Brahma is the greatest. Because in the universe, obviously, he is the greatest. But one day Narad saw that Brahma was in meditating and he was displaying some ecstatic, wonderful ecstatic symptoms. So Narad asked, when Brahma came to his external senses, then Narad asked, who are you meditating upon? I used to think that you are the Supreme, but who are you meditating upon that you're displaying such wonderful symptoms in your body? The symptom of joy, the symptom of ecstasy. Then Brahma told Narad about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then when Vasudev was despondent, he felt that his job was not properly accomplished, then Narad went and told Vasudev, Vas, that is the problem. You have done so much, you have divided the Vedas, analyzed the Vedas, wrote all this other scriptures in relation to the Vedas, Upanishads, Purans, Itihash, Dharma Shastra, and you tried to make it simplified for ordinary people in the form of Mahabharata, and then you gave the essence of the Vedas in the Vedanta Sutra. So you have done a great job, but still you are not satisfied. Why? Still you are thinking that your job hasn't been properly executed. Why? Because you did not glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The purpose of the Vedas is to understand Him and glorify Him. So since you haven't done that, you are feeling like this. And then He gave him the root of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Vasudev explained it, elaborated that in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he imparted that knowledge to Sukadeva Goswami. He pointed out to Sukadeva, Sukadeva, you left home thinking that you understood everything, but you haven't. Your understanding is incomplete. The real understanding of the Absolute is Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way, Sukadev received this knowledge from Vasudev. Then Sukadev recited this knowledge, imparted this knowledge to Parikshit Maharaj when he was preparing to leave this planet. And in that assembly there was Suta Goswami. And then when the sages assembled in Naimisharanya, the sages of Naimisharanya were performing the Sahasra Samamasatah, 1,000-year-long fire sacrifice to benefit the age of Kali, to counteract the degrading influence of the age of Kali. Then Suta Goswami appeared there and he narrated the same Srimad Bhagavatam. And in simple words, Bhagavatam means the unalloyed glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what is the sum and substance of that unalloyed glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So when you chant Hare Krishna, then you are actually deriving the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. You are acting on that understanding that one receives after after reading and understanding the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. So you understand what an inconceivable benefit you are getting by chanting the holy name of the Lord? Unalloyed glorification of the Lord. Which Brahma was feeling discontent after doing so much. He did so much, divided the Vedas, wrote all the Upanishads, wrote all the Purans, wrote all the Dharma Shastras, wrote Mahabharata, wrote Vedanta Sutra. So still he did not feel satisfied. So then he presented Srimad Bhagavatam, Arthovayang Brahma Sutranam, which is the meaning or elaborate explanation of Brahma Sutra, Brahma Vedanta Sutra. It is Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of everything. And the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the most effective way to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead is by chanting the holy name. And of all the names of Krishna, these three names in this structure, permutation and combination, as Prabhupada pointed out here, are those three names are Hare, Krishna and Rama. And the structure is the most effective structure of these three names are Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, all glory is to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Krishna Archan.
Going to the spiritual sky is like waking up from a dream. So the explanation of Gopakumar in Bhagavatamrita explains that Gopakumar goes all the way from home of Vrindavan there, and Krishna goes and embraces them. So the scene appears to be something like somebody who has been long lost comes back. Whereas the how does the waking up?
Yeah, very good question. You see, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami is explaining the journey of Gop Kumar in order to give us the geographical concept, step by step. So in that sense, we can consider that Gop Kumar dream was waking up in folds. One dream woke up from one dream, entered into another dream. And this is how he came to the spiritual sky. And then in spiritual sky, you see, like, not that everybody will go back the same way. There are various ways of going back to the spiritual sky. Right? And Prabhupada is also pointing out that going to Vrindavan will be born in the the 10th canto, Prabhupada is describing that when we are almost perfect, we will take birth in the planet where Krishna's pastimes are going on. We'll take birth in a cowherd family there. And this is how we'll get a chance to take part in Krishna's pastimes. And participating in that pastimes will become perfect. Because whatever little rough edges are there, they will be polished up. And that's how we'll become qualified to enter into Golok Vrindavan. So that's one way. Then also we find how Dhruva Maharaj went, how different other devotees, like Vishnu Dutas came with the chariot and they went back. So we have to understand that there is not that everybody will go back in the same way. Different individuals will go back in different ways. But Prabhupada is giving us the understanding when you, from this nature, when you go to that nature, what's going to be, what's going to happen, how it will happen. And in many cases it can be like just waking up from a dream. It is also described that, you see, it's just a matter of waking up in the other side of the spiritual sky. Waking up in the spiritual sky. Because, you see, our state of existence in the material nature is Jagaran, Swapna and Sushupti. There are three stages. Jagaran is the stage of wakefulness, is when both gross and subtle bodies are active. The Swapna is when the gross body is inactive, subtle body is active. When both gross and subtle bodies are inactive, that's Sushupti or deep sleep. Now deep sleep is a region, you know, where, which is separating the material and spiritual. Now if you wake up on the other side in someday, if in deep sleep, what happens with us usually, we wake up, we go to deep sleep, go very close to the spiritual sky. But then again we wake up in this nature. We wake up looking at this direction. But if one fine morning, if we wake up on the other side, then we'll find ourselves in the spiritual sky. From deep sleep we're coming back again and again. Jagaran, Swapna and Sushupti. Jagaran, Swapna, Sushupti. But if we continue on the region of Sushupti, then one day we'll just break through or transcend the Sushupti or deep sleep region when both our gross and subtle material bodies are not active. Then what is active then? The soul. Then we'll find ourselves in the spiritual sky. But it's not going to happen unless and until you're completely free from material attachments. If you have the slightest material attachment, from Sushupti will come back here. That means if our face is turning this way, we'll look at the material. So what we have to do is turn our face completely away from the material nature. No more attachments. And then Krishna will bestow his mercy and say, okay, come back. And then we'll wake up in that world. Yes, Radharani? That's subtle body experience. Out of body experience is a subtle body. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, you mentioned that Srimad Bhagavatam is the unruly glorification of the Lord and how it came down to us at this point in the form that it is now. But how can we understand is it a secret that was passed down from Krishna to Brahma? Because like in the 10th canto we see how Brahma is his testing Krishna, challenging Krishna, but that was still to happen. Krishna spoke away.
Okay, this challenge we have, that is the region of pastimes. That's the pastimes. Right. Now we have to understand that on the stage, Brahma is playing a role and Krishna is trying to teach us something. Right? It's not that Brahma is bewildered in that sense.
My question actually was like, is it then the same Srimad Bhagavatam that was, or is any glorification, unalloyed glorification of the Lord, is that described Srimad Bhagavatam?
Unalloyed glorification means it's giving you the understanding about the futility of anything else. Everything else is futile. Right? So what are you going to do? If everything else is useless, what are you going to do? Glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, how it brings you to that point, that is different. But it's always bringing you to that point. Like, for example, in Shiva Puran, you'll find the description, Shiva is the greatest. Vishnu and Brahma, they all came from Shiva. Right? And in this way, there are different stages of understanding. But when you come to Bhagavatam, what do you understand? Now, is Bhagavatam or Shiva is contesting with Shiva Puran? No. You know, Shiva Puran, that stage, the Tamasic Puranas are needed for some kind of people, those who are in that level. They need to surrender to Lord Shiva. Because they won't be able to surrender to Brahma or Krishna. They won't be able to surrender. Because their habits, their practices are as such that they're meant to surrender to Lord Shiva. Right? But then, by following those practices, they'll come to the platform of mode of goodness. So in the mode of goodness, they will be attached to Ganesh and Surya. Right? And then, transcending that mode, they'll come to the mode of goodness. There they will be attracted to Vishnu. Right? So that's in the mode of goodness. Now, when one becomes attracted to Vishnu, we have to understand that he's already in the mode of goodness. Because worshipping of Vishnu has certain specific objective. Like, for example, why do people worship Ganesh and Surya? To enjoy this material nature. Ganesh gives success. Right? So that is in the mode of passion. But in the mode of goodness, in the mode of ignorance, what are you doing? Smoking ganja and hallucinate. Right? In the mode of ignorance, that is the practice. Getting drunk, getting intoxicated. So at that stage, they need to take shelter of Lord Shiva. And who is surrounding Lord Shiva? Ghosts and hobgoblins. And so then gradually they realize, by the mercy of Lord Shiva, they'll transcend that stage. Because they're surrendering to Lord Shiva, they're on the right track. Because they have a guide. They have somebody who is supervising them. And this is how they will be. They will transcend that stage of ignorance. Come to the stage of passion. And in the stage of passion, what they will do? What does passion lead you to? Passion leads you to enjoy this material nature. So this passion wants you to be successful in your endeavors. As a Vaishya, you want to be successful in your business, and as a Kshatriya, you want to be successful in your battle, in war. And you need to be powerful. So that's why the power is derived from sun. So in the passion, there's prescriptions that they will worship Ganesh and then Surya. The Kshatriyas will worship. You'll see Kshatriyas are worshipping Surya. Because from him they derive, or if they don't directly worship, but they derive the power from him. They need to be powerful. But then they transcend that stage and come to the mode of goodness. There, they are worshipping Vishnu, Narayan. And that is the stage of the Brahmanas. But transcending even that material mode of goodness, they come to the pure goodness. Then they become Vaishnavas. And then, they take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? So it's a gradual development.
Thank you. That's in the mode of ignorance. Devi and Shiva are worshipped in the mode of ignorance. Surya and Ganesh, Saura, they are Sauras and Ganapataye. Vaishyas worship Ganesh, Kshatriyas derive their energy from Surya. And then Brahmanas worship Vishnu, Narayan. Yes.
There's something that Brahmani mentioned to you earlier about the out of body experience. I remember a long time ago in a lecture, one devotee was telling the story of a woman who claimed that under an operation she was declared clinically dead for a minute or two. And during that time she entered the kingdom of God. And she started with the usual bright light story, and then she went into quite considerable detail about this so-called element that she encountered there. He said that she related the story while sitting in the restaurant eating meat, and from that we could immediately understand that there was no way she actually went back to God in that few minutes, because if she did, she would not be able to come and sit and have a meal of meat just like that.
Well, it's difficult to, you know, conclude like that, you know. Say, for example, one may have that experience due to previous sukriti, but, you know, due to lack of guidance, you know, she couldn't continue to be situated in that platform. She came down because, you know, her surrounding is, you know, bringing her down to that, you know, degraded platform. And another way also to look at it is that although when you practice, one should be very, very careful. When one is practicing spiritual life, one should be very careful about consciously practicing the process and be situated in a mode of goodness, because that is the prerequisite. But then again, you know, like, there is no way of knowing how elevated the spirit soul may be in that body who is indulging in these kind of activities. And the main thing is, the most important consideration is to come across the pure devotee and practice the process under his direction. That is the way. Then only the success becomes guaranteed. Otherwise, you know, we may, like Durvasa also went to Vaikuntha. But what happened? I mean, he went there, he met the Lord, but couldn't stay there because he was not qualified, didn't have a visa. What was he before? Oh, I see. You see, often or sometimes it can be the mental projection. Like, because they have been acquainted with the concept of Jesus Christ, you know, when they saw a spiritual personality, they thought that it was Jesus. Yeah, because you see that his mental projection is imposed on him. To begin with, did he see Jesus Christ? Right? Did anyone see Jesus Christ? No. So it's only the painter's artist's impression of Jesus Christ. Right? There's no picture of Jesus Christ, so how do you know? What if someday Jesus didn't have a beard? And That's why, again, we go back to the same point. Unless you have a bona fide teacher, you can't substantially make spiritual progress. Like Christianity today is such a hodgepodge, actually. And there are so many controversial things. Recently I came across a book that is very systematically claiming that there was no one called Jesus. It was Constantine, actually, in order to subdue somebody whose name was Paul. I mean, the name Paul was derived from that, actually. There was a sect there at that time that used to practice a very pure sattvic kind of practice, which is very close to Vaishnav culture. And it was becoming so prominent, and in order to subdue them, Constantine actually backdated and got his, you know, assembly, like the religious leaders, create a personality and establish him, to outdo that and use that as his political convenience. The book reads quite convincing, actually. And it is pointing out that this Jesus, Constantine did never get baptized. You know, although he was promoting Christianity, but he himself was not a Christian. Only at his deathbed did he get baptized. And why he was doing that? Because what this other person had been teaching was totally opposed to what their practice was. Because the other person was actually promoting vegetarianism, no alcohol, no illicit sex. So, you know, what does it sound like? Doesn't it sound like Vaishnavism taken from India? So in order to outdo that, in order to counter that, I mean, anyway, that's a theory. I'm not saying that that's true. But it's a theory. I mean, that's what they're saying, they're presenting, with all kinds of supports and substantiation. Anyway, at least we can say that we found the right course, right way. Somebody may have seen Jesus, but at least we can say that we have seen Krishna. When I had a dream, I didn't see Jesus, I saw Krishna. So you may, after that dream, surrender to Jesus. What we are actually seeing, he is very emphatically established. His identity has been established and revealed in the scriptures, and not by one or two persons. You know, there are, you know, scores of individuals who are actually giving the same information. Okay, yes. Yeah.
You explained that the best presentation combination of these three names of God is Hare Krishna.
Not exactly permutation combination. Permutation or combination will be different, but this is the way it has been structured. Arrangement. Yeah.
So I just wanted to, if previous question, like what is the meaning, significance of this particular kind of arrangement in this teaching?
Because it has been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the scriptures. And in the scriptures it was kept as the most profound secret. And it works. Yes.
When Lord Krishna left Gokul, as there are so many devotees who are not able to live without him, even then why did he not return back there?
Yeah, to begin with, Krishna never left Vrindavan. He was always there. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan.
Gokul,
when he left Gokul, then they went, the devotees went to Vrindavan. He left Gokul, everybody left Gokul with Krishna and Nanda Maharaj. Then they went to Vrindavan. But when he left Vrindavan for Mathura, then the devotees were kind of left behind. The residents of Vrindavan stayed in Vrindavan. And Krishna went to Mathura. But Krishna never left Vrindavan. Because it was Vasudev who left Vrindavan, who went to Mathura. And Nanda Nandan Krishna, the Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, came back from the border of Vrindavan. And he used to interact with the residents of Vrindavan every day, all the time. But the residents of Vrindavan used to think, when they used to see him, they used to think that they were dreaming. It was not real. Krishna left for Mathura. And when they would dream, they would think that it is real. Because then it was like Krishna himself.
Is anyone in mode of ignorance, then he can come directly into the mode of goodness?
Yeah, he can come to the mode of transcendental goodness, pure goodness. Just by joining ISKCON. You join ISKCON, most of the people in this age are actually in the mode of ignorance. Right? But when you join ISKCON, where are you? You're in transcendental goodness. And that is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which has been distributed by Srila Prabhupada all over the world. And the proof is, when you join ISKCON, what do you have to do? No meat eating, fish or egg or onion and garlics, no intoxication, not even tea, coffee, paan, biri. No intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. So this is the sign of mode of pure goodness. And then you are chanting the whole Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Yes, Chitranjan? Well, I will just correct it here. The Lord manifested as Archa Vigraha in Dwapar Yuga. But in Kali Yuga is the holy name. So even though they don't go to the temple, but they can't avoid the devotees chanting the holy name in the streets, morning and evening. Right? Yeah. With the holy name. You serve the holy name. Archa Vigraha actually helps. It's beneficial.
Because many devotees are telling me that we don't like to go to the temple. We just chant. So we encourage them, no, come, take darshan of the deity.
Because by doing that, you know, like why Archa Vigraha is important, because then you can relate to whose name you are chanting. Unless you develop proper faith and respect for the personality, how can you chant his name properly? How can you glorify him properly? So it cannot be without worshipping the Lord. So that's why you need to come to the temple. That's why Prabhupada established the temple.
Whoever people who are very attached to the form of the Lord, it's as good as the holy name.
it will enhance the chanting of the holy name. It will benefit. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare.